Financial Planning Institute hosted a conference in which a number of speakers gave their take on their various disciplines. Looking at the economic outlook was Isaiah Mhlanga. He's the chief economist at Alexander Forbes, and he joins us on the line. Thanks very much, Isaiah, for joining us. The economic outlook continues to be bleak, with expectations that we may not grow at more than 1% again. What factors are you putting in the mix looking at the economic growth story for this year, and where are you pegging it?
I think if you look at historical recoveries in economic growth, they have always been kick-started by global economic growth improving. If not global economic growth, you had a significant or quite substantial fiscal stimulus, or you have had monetary policy that manages to cut interest rates aggressively by a minimum of 400 basis points, which is like 4 percentage points.
Yes.
This time is different. We have a global economic environment that is slowing down, which means you are not going to get support from the global environment. We don't have the fiscal space. If we consider our debt levels has doubled over the past 10 years, and you compound it with by ESCOM's issues and state-owned companies' guarantees, which means fiscal policy is very constrained, doesn't even have room to stimulate the economy. But also from a monetary policy point of view, the sub, yes, can cut rates, but there is a level of interest rate that when it reaches, it becomes too low to be competitive relative to other emerging markets, such that we can continue to attract capital inflows that are used to fund our current account deficit. So not much room either on the central bank or on monetary policy point of view. So it leaves the only lever that can be pulled is really to try and encourage the private sector to invest in the local economy, and that requires solving three issues. First is the political environment. The debate around policy position still shows that we have issues in our political environment, which manifest into a policy crisis, if I were to put it that way, because we're still not quite sure exactly what are the policies that we are taking forward. Yes, we've had some improvement in the policy environment, but we still have issues where there is disagreement. Take the issue of land expropriation without compensation, the nationalization of the Reserve Bank, prescribed assets, which are things which are still hanging in the discussions, which to a foreign investor may be quite convincing, confusing on what is the policy direction. And because of those things, we have low business confidence, which prevents the private sector from investing.
Isaiah, in his budget vote speech on the presidency today, President Ramaphosa indicated that his office is in the process of reconstituting what was formerly known as the policy unit. This unit is going to base its policy formulations on evidence-based data. It's going to be liaising with think tanks and research institutions. I think obviously he's trying to answer some of the problems that you've raised around policy stagnancy and implementation. How important do you think this development will be, in terms of getting us out of this continued narrative that we often have around policy uncertainty?
It is very important, and in actual fact, it's not a new thing. We had it under President Thabo Mbeki, where all the policies were at least coordinated such that you don't have the Department of Home Affairs saying something and then the Department of Tourism saying something different in terms of the visa regime and trying to attract tourists to come into the country, and yet it is under the same government. So to prevent that kind of discord, this policy unit will be able to look through all the policies of the country to make sure that they speak and they are well coordinated in one direction. That will solve some of the issues that we have in terms of the discord in the policy environment.
We can almost predict that come the midterm budget, the finance minister will continue to harp on about cutting government expenditure. But isn't it a fact that you can only cut so far, as the concept of austerity doesn't always necessarily work? And in the end, it actually prevents you from catalyzing economic growth by way of investment. So how can he get the balance right there?
I think most of the cuts have already been announced in the budget in February this year, which means it's a follow-through to what was announced. Because one thing that government has to continue to do is once they announce the policy position, they need to follow through. What we have seen over the past couple of years is policies are announced, but there is no follow through, which is why the business sector has not have stopped believing in some of the policies because of the lack of implementation.
Yes.
So if we were to see a reversal from what was announced in February, as far as cutting the public sector wage bill is concerned, that will be a big issue, particularly in terms of what we should expect with future economic policy announcements. Are they going to be implemented or not? Then it will really be a big dent in the credibility of government as far as policy announcement and follow through in implementation is concerned. So I would expect the finance minister to stick with the implementation of those policies to cut the public sector wage bill and to provide some room in terms of the debt service cost, because once you cut the public sector wage bill, you reduce the spending, it may reduce the fiscal deficit and therefore the debt service cost in future.
Yeah.
Remember, this is really try to save on interest costs in future, which should be then used for investment.
The consumer accounts for about 60% of GDP. We saw that retail sales for May were positive, up 2.2% on an annual basis in May. And of course, it's the second consecutive month of growth in the second quarter, which is positive. Hopefully that will assist in getting us out of a potential recession. But do you think these numbers are odd, or are you optimistic about the consumer for the balance of the year, despite all the stuff that's going on?
At the moment, I'm not optimistic about the consumer for the remainder of the year. If you look at what we just spoke about, the job losses that are taking place in the rest of the economy, they are quite substantial. But if you also look at hiring intentions by SA corporates, they are quite low relative to the recent past, which means South African corporates are not looking to increase headcounts. Therefore, we are unlikely to see job growth over the next 6 months or so. But if you also look at wage growth, it is now lower than inflation. Historically, wage growth has tended to be above inflation. Now you see wage growth becoming negative in real terms, which means the ability of the consumer to spend is quite constrained. But we also see it in different parts of the economy. If you look in the insurance sector, they will tell you that consumers are downgrading from more expensive medical aids, or they're actually cancelling their car covers because they are quite constrained. So, given that outlook, I wouldn't be optimistic about the consumer sector. I would expect a consumer sector that remains quite conservative in how they spend, particularly on the big ticket items. And this is going to show up in the likes of furniture, the likes of vehicle sales, but also the likes of property market. We are likely to see that market picking up for the next 6 months or so.
And one last thing, Isaiah, you did touch on monetary policy. Come Thursday, many of us are waiting with bated breath, hoping that we're going to get a cut. What's your expectation?
I think in this one, it's quite hard to tell, but I'll be inclined to expect this rather than to cut interest rate by about 25 basis points. Obviously, the global environment is quite supportive because a number of central banks are also expected to cut rates over the next year, which means the US dollar is likely to be weaker, and therefore the currency becomes the local currency standings will likely to be stronger, which supports the Reserve Bank cutting interest rates. But it's not going to lead to an improvement in economic growth. You need at least 100 basis points cuts to improve economic growth by about 25 basis points. So a 25 basis point cut in rate is not going to improve. It's merely a confidence boosting cut this time around.
That was Isaiah Mhlanga. He's the chief economist at Alexander Forbes.